Anything comes to anybody's mind right off? Let's consider something. Let's consider Christ and what he's done for us. Consider the lilies of the field. There's so much in Scripture. You know, sometimes I think it's a random thought. But then I go to the Scriptures and I just do a word search and it's everywhere. It's like, we're just going to do a simple message on things that God would have us to consider. You remember that passage, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians 10? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Casting those things down. Where do those battles happen? Well, they happen in our mind. So what we consider is vital to spiritual victory. If you are going to walk a victorious, joyful Christian life, you've got to consider the right things. You know, David says something to this effect. His foot had well nigh slipped when he considered the prosperity of the wicked, or when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. He's like, I'm living like this, but look at how they are living and everything that they have and everything that I don't have. And his mind is mulling over this. And spiritually speaking, his foot almost slipped. But then he considered their end. And again, his heart came to a place of peace and rest when he considered their end. What was he doing? He was putting his mind and his focus on truth. When he considered the truth of God's word, his heart was at rest. Because their prosperity is but for a moment. You know, and when I consider even dishonest people, and I've been blessed, Dwight's mentioned this at work more than once, when somebody is stealing something, you know, they're just borrowing it till judgment day. They're not really getting away with anything. You know, and the crook in his heart thinks he's getting away with it. But he's not. He's not considering properly. And when we consider the right things, then we can rise victorious and we can walk in grace. So, I don't want to waste too much time on the introduction and not even get into the scripture. So let's go to 1 Samuel 12. This is a standalone verse. There is a context around it. But 1 Samuel 12 and verse 24. It's a scripture, you know, in verse 10 where they cried to the Lord and said, we've sinned and we've forsaken the Lord, serve Balaam. And Samuel stands up. And Samuel tells the people, fear not, because you've done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord. You know, Henry asks, how many of us really believe that God is a loving God? Right? Do we actually believe that? Does our heart embrace that God is a loving God? You know, here the people of Israel had turned aside from following the Lord. They were serving false gods. And they left God by the wayside. Right? The very God that brought them out of Egypt, brought them into the land of Canaan, prospered them, gave them an inheritance. And they turned their backs on him. And yet now, coming back in repentance, Samuel simply says, don't turn aside from following after the Lord. That speaks mercy and love and grace of God. To bring a people back when they've so totally turned their backs. You know, at the one point, I think God's talking about a writing of divorcement where he's like, where is your writing of divorcement? It's like God is saying, you left me, but I never left you. Right? I'm waiting for you to be done with yourself. You know, my hand of mercy is still stretched out. I'm waiting for you. You know, this is what he was doing with Israel. And he's, You know, he's holding out his hand of mercy to Israel. And in verse 24, Samuel says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he has done for you." Consider. To consider means to actually take a step back. We're going to stop here. We're going to park here for a while. And we are going to consider. What shall we consider? You know, what the Lord has done for us. Right? There's so many things. You meet somebody in the store and they're familiar, and you may go and embrace them and, "Hey, it's good to see you, you know, and it's been a long time." And now what shall we talk about? Right? What shall we consider? And Samuel tells the people of Israel, consider this. What great things the Lord has done for you. This is something that just, it moves my heart over and over again when I do this. It's putting my mind on all the good things that God has done for me. Like, do you know how hard it is to be discouraged when you sit there rehearsing the blessings of God in your life? I mean, it's impossible to stay discouraged. What does the devil want you to do? Well, that brother's got this and I don't have it, and he's got that gift and I don't have it, and he's doing this and I don't have that. And what a dismal, discouraging life. You know, they've got it so good and I've got it so bad. And then at home sometimes we say, "Suck it up, buttercup." Yeah. Life's tough. Get over it. It's not easy. What Brother Dwight shared yesterday in our men's breakfast about self-pity, I am on board 110%, brother. I mean, you nailed it. If there's one thing that grates me the wrong way, is a whiny spirit. Is that to say I never whine to the Lord? I wish I could say I never do. But when I hear it, you know, especially when children put on this whiny voice, you know, we all know that one, right? Oh my, it's like, stop it. Right? Just stop. Right? Stop your whining and ask. And children know exactly what you mean. Because it's like flipping a switch. You know, they come with their, they think somehow if they whine their way into something that they'll get something. "Dad, can I please have a cookie?" Why don't you just stop it? Stop whining and ask. "Dad, can I have a cookie?" Like, whoa! Is this the same child? It's that whiny heart attitude that God deals with within us. And he deals with that whiny attitude with a scripture like this. So if we're having trouble really being grateful, really rising up and living a life of thanksgiving, you're thinking about the wrong things. You got your mind in the wrong place. Your heart is whining about everything it doesn't have. Just stop and consider what great things God has done for you. And watch an attitude of gratitude rise in your heart. It's a law that you can't ignore. You can't get around it. Someone with as much as Job had, God gave this encouragement in chapter 37, verse 14. And we're just going to hop, skip through a few scriptures here. Job 37, verse 14. Well, this is interesting. God wanted the Israelites to do this, but he's telling Job the same story. "Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still." What's that mean? Well, sometimes we just get running around looking for answers. We're running here, we're running there, we're running hither and yon and up and down. Does that sound like our North American lifestyle? Ay, 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 morning till night, right? Just rush, 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 go, go, go. We get up in the morning and we start running. And we're in this rat race until we lay back down at night, and we got time for nothing. But we spent all day running. For what? For what? Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Oh. You know the devil wants you to run around. He doesn't want you to stop and think. Because if you stop and think, you might be satisfied with less. Because you realize how much you've already got. But the devil seeks in our culture to plant this seed of discontent. You know, because if I had a little more money, then I could do this, and then I could do that, and I could do that. And do you know when you're going to stop? Once you have a little more. Right? It's not a number. You're not looking for a number. You're looking for a little more. That's like chasing the end of the rainbow. There isn't one. Right? It's an endless race. That's our North American society. And I want to encourage you, brothers. Yes, let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor with his hands, working the thing which is good. Sweet is the sleep of a laboring man. It's good for a man to get up in the morning, go to work, and put in a solid day's work. But enough is enough. You know, we heard about that yesterday morning too, men. Enough is enough. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You labor, but there comes a point in your life, there's a time in your day where you need to stop and consider the wondrous works of God. Just stand still. You know where that happens for me? When I come home after dark, park the truck and I get out, and if it's a clear night and I'm just looking up at the stars, I'm in awe every time. I mean, there is hardly a time when I stand still and I just look and I marvel that I don't feel like God is just preaching to me. Our God is an amazing God. He's an awesome God. He's done wonderfully good things for us. And we need to take time to just stand still and consider. Put our mind onto those things which God has already done. Well, yeah, nothing really comes to mind. Do you ever feel like that? Where you want to give thanks to the Lord, but you just sit there and you think and you're kind of drawing a blank. Can anyone identify with that? Just a few. So I'm not preaching to very many people this morning. Maybe the Lord gave me a message and I'm giving it to you. You all drew a blank. All right, well, we're going to do some considering. All right, we're going to go to Psalms chapter 8. And we're going to keep considering for a bit. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. You noticed how the psalmist, in his heart, his attention is just arrested when he considers the heavens. I want to give us something practical. You go out on a clear night and just stand there. Just stand still. Look at the stars. Look at the vastness of the sky and allow yourself to start feeling smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. That is exactly what happened to David. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, he stood still and he considered some of the wondrous works of God. And his heart was arrested. And he began to feel very insignificant. What is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? You know why it's important? Because we tend to feel like the world revolves around us. That is our natural inclination. When we face a problem, it's like the biggest problem in the world. And how are we ever going to get through it? Because this is just so big. And I just can't see my way through it. David is not sharing this to make us feel like we're nothing. When we consider the heavens and we start to feel very small, we should also start to feel how big our God is. And that all of our big problems can't be that big because we're not that big. And if our problems aren't that big, but our God is, then I can rest. Because God's got it under control. God knows what he's doing. And what I can't see my way through today, a year later, we're going to be looking back and saying, we got through it after all. Why did I worry? What was the big deal anyway? You know, all of those things. I know the humorist says that worry really is effective. Because 90% of the things you worry about never happen. But you get the point. The point is that God is big and I am small. And let's keep reading through some other considerations and see how that's relevant to our life. Because it's very important for us to realize how small we are. But it's just as important to realize how big God is. Let's go to Psalms 19. Another one of my favorites. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You see, too often we have a high and lofty idea of what it means to be spiritual. It's a very spiritual thing for a man or any individual, you know, woman, child, to just stand and consider the heavens. Whether it's the stars, whether it's the clouds, just consider. Our God is an awesome God. Words fail me to really explain what I'm trying to say. So I'm just going to have to read the scriptures and let God do the preaching. But the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Really? The heavens preach? Yeah, they do. You know, they actually have developed audio equipment that can pick up the sound of the stars. But God knew they were making noise all along. You know, but science is slowly catching up to everything that the scriptures already declared. But day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. But the heavens, they preach of a creator. Because when you look at the heavens and you see the order in creation, it demands a creator. It didn't just happen, like the evolutionist declares. And when we consider the heavens and we realize there must be a creator, which of course we believe, but many in the world do not believe this. Where does their unrest lie? Their unrest lies in the fact that they have no foundation. They have no sure footing. We're considering the wondrous works of God. You know, one of the things which you need to be thanking God for on a regular basis is your salvation. Right? Don't take that for granted. It becomes so normal to us. And it is. Right? It should become, you know, like a husband and wife. You know, so often we say we don't consider each other. We take each other for granted. Maria and I were talking about that the other day, and we were like, I don't think it's so much that we're always taking each other for granted as we become familiar. We become at rest with one another. Like, yes, I regularly express affection for my wife to her. Okay? I let her know on a regular basis that I love her, that I think she's beautiful, that I think she's amazing. But I'm not trying to somehow put her at rest. It's coming from a place of rest. She's already confident in my love. She's already assured that I love her. I'm not trying to convince her that I love her. And our relationship with God needs to be this way. When we stop and we consider the heavens, right, don't just always be trying to convince yourself that God loves you. Rest in the confidence that he loves you. Day unto day it uttereth speech, and the heavens are preaching to you. The heavens are preaching to you that I am God. I've got this. You can rest. I love you. I care about you. I know you're there. I haven't forgotten about you. Everything in your life is minutely important to God. There is nothing insignificant to God in your life. He cares. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. It doesn't matter where you go around the globe, the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare that I, the Lord, have made this. That's the message that the firmaments preach day after day after day. And if you stop and you consider, you will start feeling like David. You will become smaller and smaller. Your problems will become smaller and smaller. And God will become bigger and bigger. And your rest in the Lord will grow and grow and grow as you realize just how big and almighty and all-sufficient our God is, who has done all things. Now let's jump over to Luke 22. I've been skating around this scripture trying to not get ahead of myself like I almost always do. Luke 12:22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat. Don't worry about it. But I'm the provider, the man says, right? I need to be concerned about my family. I need to go out and provide for them. Well, yes, you do. But don't forget the heavens. Right? Remember the message of the heavens. That I, big God, understand your little problem. And what seems to you like a little big problem is a little problem to God. Well, no problem at all, really. Right? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So don't worry about it. Take no thought for your life. Have no worry. Have no care. What does the Lord say? Whatever you have need of, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Why with thanksgiving? Because you're acknowledging all the goodness of God. You're acknowledging all the good things that God has already done for you. And in thanksgiving, you're acknowledging your confidence in the God that you serve. Right? So often, when somebody is going to serve you, you're waiting. And if it's a stranger, you've got no idea whether he's coming through or not. So when you walk into a store and you say, well, could I get this and this and this? They're going to look at the list and they're going to say, well, I've got this, I don't have that. Yep, and I do have that. So, you know, they're going to give you some things. But all things that you have need of, you bring to the Lord, and the Lord says yes. And so when you come to the Lord, you're coming with thanksgiving because you're confident in the one you're coming to. You don't need to doubt if God is going to pull through or not. He's got you. He's got it figured out. Right? I remember days when I would always worry and worry and worry about whether there'd be enough to pay the bills. And I don't worry so much anymore. You know, I think slowly the Lord is bringing me through that one. But we want to be careful. Not to be careless. But anyway, take no thought what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat. God's more concerned about your life than the food you're going to eat. And the body than raiment. He's more concerned about your body than the clothes that go on the body. He cares about you. He loves you. You can rest confident in that. Consider the ravens. So God says, if you're worried whether I care about you, what are you? We go back to creation, and God says, let us make man in our image. And so God did. God made man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. That's you and I. Human beings created in the image of God. So God says, I don't want you to worry. I just want you to trust me. And in case that's not sufficient, well, let's consider the raven. How many of you love ravens? No, how about their first cousin, the crow? We just love crows. Why has everybody got it in for crows? Right? We maybe don't have as many ravens around here, but why has everybody got it in for them? Well, they're not the best bird around. Right? They're kind of annoying. They're definitely not the most beautiful thing on wing. Like, you start looking at birds of paradise, and yesterday, we're just pulling out of the shop drive. No, that was Friday. And up there, we saw a bald eagle. I put on the brakes, and I started backing up. I rolled down my window because one of my boys was out close to the shop. And I hollered out, hey, look at the bald eagle. I guarantee you, if I'd have seen a raven over there, I wouldn't have thought twice. I wouldn't have stopped. I wouldn't even have slowed down. They're not the most significant bird on the planet. Shall we say it that way? But let's think about the raven. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, consider the raven. Well, Lord, what is it about the raven we're supposed to consider? Consider. Is there anything about a raven that stands out to you?
They're super smart.
They like going through garbage. They like donuts?
Oh, yeah.
John would know. But we want to consider the ravens. Why? Because they do not sow, nor do they reap. They don't, do they? You ever seen a raven put in a field? I've never seen a raven sow a field. In other words, ravens don't have a job. They don't have storehouses. They don't have barns. Now listen carefully. God feeds them. Consider the raven. Right? No job. They just go around. They're scavenging. You know, off of everything that everybody else has. But it says God feeds them. Right? So apparently he's using scraps and leftovers to feed the ravens. But God is feeding the ravens. Which means they have their place in our ecosystem. And it's okay if we just let them be. Right? The crows, my boys would kill every last one they can get a hold of. But they do help to clean things up. But God feeds them. Now, how much more are you better than the fowls? Like, naturally speaking here, in order of creation, do you think you're more important than a raven?
Jesus didn't die for the ravens.
He didn't die for the ravens. Right? We need to consider this. Jesus told us to consider this. So we got to stop. If we're going to consider something, we have to stop and think about it. Otherwise, we're just skating over at 100 miles an hour, just like we so often do with other things. We don't want to. We want to actually stop and think. Right? So maybe a good exercise for you as families. Sit down, pull out an encyclopedia on ravens or Google ravens, and just consider the raven. Right? And just be confirmed. Now, we realize the point that Jesus is making is that they don't sow, they don't reap, and yet your Heavenly Father feedeth them. But for children, so often, if they have word pictures to show them, here's ravens, here's what ravens do, here's how ravens live, and children have a better understanding of what's actually going on. And it actually helps me too. Right? I've been like that since grade school. Like, teacher would try to explain some kind of concept to me, and I'm just not getting it. He'd pull out a pen and paper, and he'd start drawing it out in a diagram, and I'm like, well, why didn't you just say so? And all of a sudden, it just becomes evident. It's so simple. And we want to understand, not just theologically, but in our heart, I want you to realize that God has you way above the raven in terms of love and care. And he feeds them. Do you think he's going to feed you? I mean, we got to stop and do the inventory here. You know, if the raven is down here on the food scale and you're up here created in the image of God, do you think God's going to feed you? Absolutely. Like, when we stop and consider, it's a no-brainer. And then we stop and we say, well, then why did I worry? We weren't considering the right things. We may have been considering the bills. We may have been considering the unexpected breakdown of a vehicle. You know, unexpected health problems that ended up taking more out of the pocketbook than it was supposed to. There's all kinds of things that can come up to try to distract our hearts from a simple rest and confidence in Christ. So let's consider the ravens. If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least. Oh, sorry, I missed a verse. Which of you by taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? Anybody ever get 18 inches taller by thinking about it? Believe me, if there's one person that would like it, it's me. Because I've told people I am not overweight, I'm just short. But it's done nothing for me, right? I'm not 18 inches taller by wanting to be. So if we can't do that which is least, it's like God is saying, you know, that's the smallest thing for me to do. So to make you 18 inches taller, that's the smallest thing for me to do. Like Jesus is like, well, I wouldn't even really have to think about it to do that. Well, if we can't do that, then why are we worrying about the rest? Why is he saying that? Because he already has it figured out. He is the one that supplies all of your needs according to his abundant riches in Christ Jesus. Now, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubt. So we can relax and trust him. No need for worry. No need for care. Now I believe this is the last time in Hebrews chapter 12 is the last thing that we are told to consider. There's lots to think about. Revelation gives us lots that'll spin our brain for years. But where the actual word consider is used, I believe Hebrews 12 is the last one. And it's interesting which one we get to end with. Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. What are we supposed to think about? Consider him. Why do we consider the heavens? Because they declare the glory of God. They declare how great God is. Why do we consider Christ? You notice where everything is pointing? You notice where everything is telling us where our mind should be, what we should be thinking about, where our focus in life needs to be? It's always God, God, God. It's God saying, I've got your back. It's God saying, I love you. It's God saying, I care about you. It's God saying, I'm going to feed you. It's God saying, I'm going to clothe you. It's God saying, I made a way of salvation and I've got you. You're safe. You can rest. I've bought your salvation. I've purchased your pardon. You can rest in me. Always, always the focus is God. The focus is not me. And sometimes we look at our spiritual problems, and so often they loom bigger in front of us than many of our earthly temporal problems. But again, God says, looking unto Jesus, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Do you ever get tired? Does your mind ever just get weary? Stop. Stand still and consider the heavens. If we find that our brain is just getting tired, it's time to go stand there and look at the stars and just be reminded of how big God is. and that he loves us and that he cares for us. And then consider that Christ also died and spiritually has fixed everything that was wrong. For our God hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All of these things are hidden in Christ Jesus. And I guess we have reached time that we need to close. But let's consider him. Consider Christ. Consider his love. Consider the cross. And consider the fact that when you stand under those stars and you feel so small and so insignificant, that God became flesh and was given for us. And realize the magnitude of his love and his care. It's a little bit like Paul throughout his life's journey. He felt more and more insignificant. But God became more and more significant. And it happens. The longer we behold the Lamb of God, the more he becomes everything. The smaller my problems become. So, with that, I'm going to close. I just asked Jason if he would lead us in a closing song. And consider the words of the song. They rather sum up my whole message.